That's a great start, isn't it? That's good stuff. I did notice that there was something missing in that video. He never says anything. Really? Nothing at all? Yeah, okay. All the men in the room are like, yep, that's me. I'm patient. No matter what my wife says, and when she tells me to say it, I will do it. Yeah. One amen from a Harley. We believe it. All right. Well, hey, we are talking and starting the year talking about building healthy habits, and no better one to have as our second message in this series and the first healthy habit to get into than to be talking about the Word of God. And I know that New Year's is a time where we start New Year's resolutions and we say, you know, I want to be this way this year and I want to set goals and do those kind of things. And we want to follow through, and we always know how those go about January 8th or 9th. Where all of a sudden it's backfired and turned on us. But here's what I know. I know this, that this book right here has radically changed my life. And here's what I know. We're getting deep fast. I hope that's okay today. But I am banking my present and my future on this book. Period. That's it. The words that God spoke to man and said, I want you to write these down in this book. Man, that's what I'm banking my life on. And so if there's a message that's important to kick off our year, this is it. Why? Because this book matters. And whether you're not a follower of Jesus yet and you're not sure whether or not you're like, yeah, I'm in or I'm not in, I don't really know, or whether you just gave your life to Christ and you're like, I want to learn everything, or you're a mature believer, I'm looking at getting closer and closer to 40 years of following Jesus, but I'll tell you what, this book can still come to life for us if we allow it to, because in John 17:17, it says, sanctify them by truth. Why? Because your word is truth. It doesn't say some of its truth. It doesn't say part of its truth. It doesn't say the pieces and parts that I like are truth. It says this book is truth. So that on December 31st, when I open up my phone and I get every day with God comes across my path, and I open it up and I look at it, and Pastor Steve Kern writes a devo on Psalm 91. And I read through that and I think, man, how did he know when he wrote this weeks, months, maybe years before, how did he know that that passage was going to rock my world on December 31st? Why? Because his word is truth. And it comes to life for us when we choose to read it, when we choose to follow it. Another passage that I want us to jump to early, we turn to Ephesians 4, right here at the beginning. We're getting into the word early because, oh, we're talking about the word, right? So we figure we better not waste any time. Don't worry, there's a good story coming, and it's going to look a lot like that story you saw on the screen. But I want to jump right into the word, and if you look at Ephesians 4 and verse 14, we're talking about the word being truth. And it says this, it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. Sounds familiar. That was Randy's story this morning, right? Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. 15, instead, speaking the truth, which has to be God's word, in love, we will grow and become in every respect mature body to him who is the head, that is Christ. How long are we going to be okay with being a baby? And if you just gave your life to Christ, good. Dig into the word, and this is the time where you get some spiritual milk. But I'll tell you this, when Boucher doesn't get some meat, Boucher's grumpy. I just got an amen from my wife. That's a true story. But I'm telling you, man, when I am just like drinking some milk, or I'm on water and that kind of stuff, or I'm fasting for a day, man, I get to the end of the day and someone's head's going to get ripped off. It's just going to happen. And please forgive me, Lord, for when that happens. But it does, right? Why? Because we need food. We have got to eat. And instead, we often, instead of going to this book and going to the truth, we listen to culture. And we say, you know, what's going on? What are other people thinking and feeling? And we jump on, man, if people say it's okay, then we need to tolerate everything, right? And we need to just accept everyone's behavior. We need to accept everyone, by the way. But we don't have to accept every behavior. Why? Because God said there's right and wrong in his word. It's true, but we jump on culture. And we don't stop there. We go to tradition, and sometimes we think, man, my tradition almost becomes higher than the word of God. And because I think it's right, therefore it is for everyone. We had this discussion in our office this week. I'm not going to mention names. but one of the people in our office wanted to go to a concert, and they were invited to a concert. And my first thought was, really? You want to go to that concert, right? And there was another person in the office who was like, really? You want to? But then it came up, and they started to talk about it, and they're like, you know what? You have some people in your grace group that are students that don't know Jesus, and if you go to that concert, it's not going to be awful. You should probably go and be in the culture with them. And I thought, you know, my tradition, my upbringing says you better run from that, right? But the Word of God says sometimes you got to become all things to all people, and you got to go to where they are to reach them. And I thought, oh, Boucher, what are you preaching on Sunday? Uh-oh. You better live it. But sometimes some of us go to reason, right? If it's not logical, then it's not right. And there's a whole lot that's a leap of faith in here. There's a whole lot in this book that makes us say, whoa, I don't get that. And some of it we're going to be exploring for all of eternity, because our God, he has things he wants us to learn. And then others of us, like maybe the guy standing in front of you, go on emotion. And man, my emotions can go everywhere. My wife can tell you, she's like, Boucher, quit crying in the bed. And when we're talking at night, you know, because I'm the one who's crying in the movie, I shouldn't admit that. I'm still a man. All right, no, really, I am. All right, I can throw elbows with the best of them. All right, but the truth is, man, I emotion, and if it doesn't feel right, then it must not be right. But then we've got to go back to the book. Why? Because his word is truth. And so we want to talk about some things of how do we build a healthy habit of digging into this book? How do we build a healthy habit that says, you know what, I'm going to consistently dig in and learn how to study the Bible so that I'm not tossed back and forth by my own traditions or by my emotions or by just logic of thinking through every step, but that I truly look at the Word of God and say, you know what, I'm going to trust what this book says. And the first point is this, I should write this down, because truth transforms us. Make sure you have that written down. That's our main point today. Truth transforms us. But if the truth is going to transform us, then number one, we need to respect the Bible. We need to have a healthy respect for the Bible. And let me tell you what I mean by this, because I'm going to start it with a story. I'll never forget the day but I was living in South Bend, Indiana, and my kids were significantly younger, and Sadie wasn't even born yet, and we bought a swing set. It was one of those metal swing sets, and it came in a monster box or two, and the manual's like that thick, you know, and you got to go step by step by step by step by step. I mean, it is like this video, living it out. The difference is I wasn't as quiet. There's a picture, and I'm not going to show it because it's not true, of me smiling while I'm putting up the swing set. It's really funny. My kids are smiling after on it, but for me, when I was on it, and I'll tell you what, I was so agitated because I'm going through this thing, and I'm trying to follow the steps, and I get there, and I get towards the end, and I realize that some of the pieces aren't right. I'm reliving this. It's like 10, 15 years ago, right? And couldn't it be 15 because my daughter's 15. So it was about 10 years ago. But I'm reliving this moment right now thinking, you know, it wasn't accurate. That there were holes that weren't drilled. There were parts that were not where they were supposed to be. I mean, I was about to go nuts, right? And I thought, you know, I value something that's accurate. And when I thought about the Word of God, I thought about that story because I thought those directions from that place, and we got to talk. That company and I, we got to talk on the phone a little bit. And it was very encouraging conversation. Like, give me what I need, please. Okay? But the truth is, this book is without error. Listen to this verse. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is flawless. It doesn't say that, by the way, when you get toward the end of the book, there's going to be some stuff missing. It says the word of God is flawless. It's without error. So if I want truth that's going to transform and change my life, then I want to go to this book. Why? Because every word of God, and this is the word of God, is flawless, without error, no mistakes, nothing wrong with it. How powerful is that? To think that I can respect this book, I can have a healthy respect for this book because The word of God is flawless. But here's my question. What do we really go to? What do we respect? Well, some of us go to this thing called Facebook, right? And I'm in this crowd, because if I was talking to high school students, they'd be like, Facebook's stupid, all right? But you're there, and I read some of your posts, and you've probably read some of mine, and some of us get all of our wisdom from our Facebook friends. Yeah, that's pretty stupid, by the way, right? That's where we gather wisdom, is we get it from there, or we get self-help books, or we watch the talk show hosts on TV, instead of going to the book where the word of God is flawless and saying, what does this book say to me? How will it speak to me? The word of God is without error. Every word in here, I believe, is true. And so what are we going to do with that this year? Are we going to take our respect to the next level and say, and some of you maybe even to say, well, I need to do a little research, Tim. I need to dig in a little bit. Well, then would you? Because if you don't trust this book, can I challenge you to do the work of digging into the word and saying, you know what? I've got to know that I know that I know that this is true. And I dare you to go prove it wrong, because here's what's going to happen. I trust the Holy Spirit of the living God is going to convict your heart like he convicted mine. And you're going to find a healthy respect for this book. Why? Because every word is flawless. Can I mention the second half of this verse? Because I think it's huge. It says, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. I think of this of when I used to do a little bit of more Nerf wars with my boys. And if they would shoot me with it, you know, I would say, protective shield. Right? Because then I wouldn't die. I could never die if I had on my protective shield, right? And so they don't get to use that because I have the protective shield, like taker downer or whatever you want to call it, right? Because I get to shoot them, but they can't shoot me because I have my protective shield. And I think the word of God is just that. If we will choose to trust it, if we will choose to respect it, it can transform us. Why? Because it's a shield for those who will take refuge in it. Choose to take refuge in it. Wow. Well, the second part is this. We need to respect the word of God. If we're going to build a healthy habit, then we have to have these whys in place. Then we have to also know the word of God. We need to make sure that we respect it, but that we also know the word of God. In Psalm 119, I love this passage. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Wow, we better know the word. We better have it. We better be digging into it. How can we stay pure? I'll never forget a time of my life where, man, I was wrestling with that, and my life wasn't in a way of purity. And I remember coming across this, and I'm not going to sing it for you because I'm losing my voice today, but I remember sitting at Ireland Road Grace Brethren Church in South Bend, Indiana, all right? I remember sitting there, and I got up to the piano, and I'm terrible. My wife is like really glad I can't sing today, because if I did, she'd be like, you're going to play the piano, all right? But I remember sitting there and turning these passages into a song, saying, God, I want to be this way, internalizing the scripture. Why? Because I want it to transform me. I've got to know the word. Are we studying the word of God, or are we studying culture more than the word of God? We need to know our culture, but are we spending more time scrolling through our feeds, watching TV, checking out ESPN in bowl season, go Buckeyes, all right? What are we doing? Are we watching ESPN? What are we spending our time on instead of knowing the word of God? What is it that's distracting us? Parents, you're with me, right? It's swim season, indoor soccer season's about to start. And our lives are crazy and we're running around everywhere. But you know what? If I don't take time to be in the word, then I'm not going to be the man in the home that I need to be. We have got to know the word of God. Are we feasting on it? I remember that period of time when I was wrestling through purity, and the question was asked of me, are you feasting on God? That's not, did you read your chapter today? That's not, did you get the verse of the day? That's, are you feasting on God? Are you really digging in to his word and allowing it to transform you? How are you doing with that? So I was watching a 30 for 30 on ESPN. It's these documentary videos. And I was watching one on the Buffalo Bills, where they had gone to 4 Super Bowls and lost them all. And I remember the first one, and a guy came on the screen, and as soon as I see him, I get sick to my stomach. Because, you know, I didn't start as a Browns fan. I gave my life to Jesus, and I came back, and I started to cheer for the Browns. Because I was born, you know, in the early 70s. And so in the late 70s, this other team from the East was pretty good. And they had this, like, steel curtain thing. And so I got all caught up in that. And then I realized, Jesus really wants me to be loyal. And so I became a Browns fan. Why? It's like, Lord, why? But you know, I had like Bernie Kosar and the dog pound when it was like for real and they're barking on defense and all that kind of stuff, right? And then this guy named Belichick shows up, right? And so Belichick comes on the screen and I have all these feelings again. But then he said all these stinking words of wisdom and it ticked me off, you know? But he was talking about, you know, the Bills' high-powered offense and how when he was the Giants' defensive coordinator, he talked about how he studied what they were doing and he did things on purpose to slow them down. And I thought, man, that's what we have to do. I hear about these coaches, and I hear about guys like Tom Brady who study film, and they dig in to know exactly what their offense is going to do and what the defense is going to do. And then I think, do we know this book like that? Are we willing to dig in enough that we know this so that when the garbage of life comes to us, we're ready? That when the struggles come, that I know the word, that if I need some wisdom for parenting, that I'm digging into the book to find it. Not just the self-help books, which are good, but I'm digging into the book to tell me what to do. That if I've got problems in my marriage, that I'm going to the book first, and I'm looking at the word of God, and I know the word of God for those moments. That when everything comes crashing down, and maybe it's anger, maybe it's lying, maybe it's gossip, whatever it is, but am I digging into the book first? Am I knowing it? May 2016 be the year where we say, this first. I'm going to know the word of God. I'm going to know the answers. Why? Because of Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Lord of God, word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Praise God. Why? Because it can separate the joints and marrow. It's going to separate soul. It's going to make changes in my life. If truth is going to transform me, then I better know the truth. And I better be ready to dig in. I've got to start with the word of God. So how do I do that? I encourage you to write down these three things, that if you're going to know the book, that you do these three things. This is one of your first practical tools today. The first, you read it. Duh. Thank you that you actually read it. I don't care if it's your phone. I don't care if it's in the Bible, the actual pages. The phone can be your Bible too, I might add. But it's, see, does that tell you what generation I'm in, that I call this the Bible and that's my phone, right? But the Bible can be on both. But whatever it is, that you actually read it and you set up a plan to do it. Some of us are like, well, I'll read it when I feel like I should, right? Because you're by feel. But if we don't schedule it, then it's probably not important to us. And so you better put in a plan to say, this is when I'm going to read, and then actually do it. Because if we're going to have a healthy habit, that's what we're going to do. And then the second part is we need to make sure that we reflect on it. That we take some time to let it impact our hearts. That we read the words, and then we say, stop, and let it just sit there for a little bit. Right? Let it just simmer a little bit. And I think, man, that's the part we miss. That's the part we miss in our microwave society, right? When we throw in the microwave meal and we pull it out, we think, yum, this is so good, right? No, not really. But when we actually marinate the food and then you grill it, oh, that's good. But that took time. And so if we're going to see the truth that transforms us, and we're going to see that happen in 2016, then I'm going to read it. I'm going to reflect on it. I'm going to let it marinate a little bit. And then I'm going to remember it. I'm going to memorize it. Think about what our Savior did. In Matthew chapter 4, our Savior said, you know what? I know it's important. He's God himself. But he had, in Matthew chapter 4, he had the Bible memorized. So that when Satan came and he said, I want you to do this, Jesus said, Man doesn't live on bread alone. What'd he do? He quoted scripture. That's awesome. Our Savior gave us the pattern of how to overcome temptation. Our Savior memorized, internalized. He remembered it. He didn't just read it, right? He didn't just reflect on it, but he remembered it, right? He got it into his heart. And so what's our plan in 2016? To say we're going to do what our Savior did, and we're going to memorize the Word of God. I think some of us would like us to stop the message now. Because if we did, then we would simply know that the truth transforms us. Oh, that's good. Yes, praise God, Tim. Yes, thank you for my Sunday morning nugget. And we would say right here that, hey, we need to respect it. I got it. I need to respect the Word of God. And we would say we need to know it, but then we'd skip the last part. And you know what it is, but the question is, will you do it? And that's, will you live it? Will this be the year in 2016 where all of us, whether we have before or whether we haven't, whether we've strayed from it or whether it's going strong, will we choose to say we are going to live the Word of God? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. I love this verse. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Is that what it says? It's not what it says. It says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. We have to actually put them into practice. And so this morning I grabbed a little illustration this morning because trying not to spill. Because here's what life is like. Sometimes we're looking through this clouded lens, right? Because things get in our way and the water gets impure. And that looks really disgusting, I might add. That's pretty good, all right? But when I look through this, I think, man, that can be our life. That worry comes in, anxiety comes in. Maybe it's anger or frustration. Maybe it's complacency. Maybe it's the fact that we spend too much time on social media. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, our view gets clouded and we can't see clearly. And then God says, hey, I've got the living water. I've got the purity that if you would just pour it into yourself, if you would just know my book, and then you would put it into practice, that something would happen. That when you would do that, it would clear it up and you'd be able to see more clearly. What would happen if this year, instead of being this water, we did that water and we said, you know what, I'm going to internalize the word into my heart. And I'm going to allow it to change me. I'm going to read it, I'm going to reflect on it, and then I'm going to remember it. And I'm going to live it out. I'm truly going to do it. But here's what we do. Some of us have this clouded view, and then we do our morning devo, and then we go about our day. And we leave it there, and we keep using this clouded view, and we look to our friends, and we conform, and we look at our emotions, or we look at logic, and we think, well, I mean, I heard the Bible on Sunday. Maybe I read my daily nugget this morning, whatever it is. But that's over here in its box, and, well, the real world's over here. Instead of letting it impact us today. What if instead we switch that around and we said, you know what, we're going to take that dirty water and we're going to make it clean. We're going to be different this year because we're going to take it and we're not just going to know it, but we're going to live it out. And so that's the challenge this morning. Is first and foremost, if you don't know who the God of the Bible is, and you haven't made a choice to trust Jesus first and foremost, then I'm going to challenge you that way because the Bible says that it's by grace we're saved through faith, and it's nothing that we can do. Reading the Bible doesn't get you to heaven. You can study the Bible from now until the day you die, but if you don't choose to follow Jesus, then there's a disconnect there, and you're not going to live with him in eternity. And so I challenge you first and foremost, have you chosen to follow the God of the Bible? Have you chosen to put your faith in Jesus? And if you're ready to do that this morning, then I encourage you to grab that communication card from your program, and I encourage you to put a cross in there and say, you know what, I'm ready today to pray and put Jesus in charge of my life. And then if you're ready to build a healthy habit or you're ready to continue a healthy habit, I challenge you to write in there that you're going to get a reading plan. And we have some that are out on the table. We have some on our website, worcestergrace.org. You go to worcestergrace.org and then next steps, and then you click reading plans. And I encourage you to say, you know what? I'm going to grab one of these and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to read the word and allow it to impact my heart. And then I'm going to allow it and go live it out. I'm going to do something with it. Do you say, what is my action plan every day? Do you choose to reflect on it? And what are you going to do with it? And if you're ready to commit to that, then I want you to write down reading plan. Because I know that that means you're not just going to read it. You're going to do something about it. May this be a year in 2016. Where we take the healthy habit of saying, man, I'm going to know how to study the Bible by reading, by reflecting on it, and remembering it. And I'm going to go live it out. May we choose to do that this year so that we can have a clear view of what it is God wants us to do on a daily basis. Let's pray. God, we come to you. And we say thank you for how good you are and how powerful you are. God, I pray that you would speak to us from your word. Thank you for the power of the word of God. Thank you that it is alive and active. And now, Lord, I pray that the words that we spoke this morning wouldn't just be words, but God, there would be action behind it, that we would truly say, I am going to dig into your word and have a habit this year of reading and living out the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.